Good morning.
Welcome to everyone. Lots of visitors today, but I think most of our visitors, if I hadn't missed, or maybe all of them, are family members of our folks, and we're glad to have you with us and invite you to come back and be with us at any opportunity that you can. Several of you made our class this morning. We're beginning at 9 o'clock now for the next 5 weeks for our series on sex and gender. And I hope that those of you who came benefited from that, and that will build. So I want to encourage you to come. If you didn't make it today, come next week. I want to read some questions that this series not specifically will address, but the things that kind of arise from this study. Why are we involved in this study? Here are just some thoughts that you may think of or that come up that sex and gender affect. What do I do in an unhappy marriage? How do we deal with the shame and guilt of past sexual sins? How do we keep our teenagers pure in a sexualized world? What do I do as a divorced Christian? Why should Christians care if two men get married? How do we stop domestic violence and sex trafficking? How can we deal with the fallout of a culture where one-third of all children are abandoned by their fathers? How do we men deal with the constant temptation to lust? How do I live with a philandering wife or husband? Why are all the public participants in our services male? How do I deal with sexual abuse committed against me as a child? What does it mean to be single in a church when it feels like everything is geared toward couples? So just some of the things that this series will deal with and bring up and discussions that we'll have. So I want to invite you to come and be a part of that again starting next week at 9. Tonight at 6, we're going to have another one of our project nights. Normally on the first Sunday we have our young men, we'll have project night, and then I believe next Sunday evening will be our last leader. So I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. It is warm in here. It is cool and damp outside. With 30 years of experience in speaking to groups, I am going to get on my horse and move and get through. Because if not, you won't be with me. I understand that. I take no offense in it. It's just the way it is. So we'll pick up and move quickly through our lesson, and we're glad you're here. We're going to talk about honesty for just a moment. It's kind of very often some of the most profound sermons are not the lengthiest. So this one will not be, I promise. But it is of significant importance, imperative, because James will say, above all, he'll talk about in the context of dealing with vows. But I want to go back to what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. And remember, we talk about Jesus is giving the kingdom ethic. How do people of the kingdom live? Jesus' message is the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is passing us by. You have an opportunity to be a part of the kingdom. A part of the kingdom where there is salvation, where there is resurrection. But be a part of the kingdom where God's people follow God's will. Where we're living God's way. We take God's name. We are His children. We live God's way. And Jesus is telling us, how do God's people live? Jesus lived that perfectly. And Jesus gives us teaching. How should God's people live? Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, Matthew's recording of the Sermon on the Mount. Again, and he's going through this whole list of things that the law had taught about, and he said, and you've been taught this, but let me give you, Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. What does this mean? What is the ethic for people of the kingdom? How should God's people live? You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is His footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Now, we have this ethic that we should be honest. Now, what does it mean, don't swear by heaven or by the earth or by Jerusalem? or by your head. What does all that mean? Well, it's kind of interesting discussion because it would be somewhat probably different for us. But every time I read this, I think about the Christmas carol or the Christmas story at Christmas, where the, you know what, you've got the double dog there, the triple dog there, and there's nothing beyond the triple dog there. I mean, once somebody lays the triple dog there on you, there you are. Well, this is kind of like in the doing of oaths or saying, you know, I swear. Sometimes we'll say that, I promise you, I wouldn't lie to you, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye, for those of you who are younger, you know, that I'm telling you the truth. Well, this were different degrees of oaths, because what they would never do would be invoke God himself, because they wanted to take no risk of misusing the name of God, of taking it in vain. So, would never swear by God or God's name. But these are kind of different degrees of how important what I'm telling you is, what I am affirming. And so the highest of importance would be by heaven. You know, I take this, I swear on heaven. Well, a little bit's important, but I swear on the earth. And the step down from that would be, I swear by Jerusalem. And then, you know, I swear by my own head, my own name, my own reputation. And so Jesus is addressing that. Why in the world would we have any kind of degrees to our honesty, to our commitment, to what we say we're going to do and how we're going to do it? Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? How would you like to enter an agreement with somebody of any importance and you have to go, now, really, how committed are you to this? Sometimes we have our questions about it anyway, don't we, in dealing with people. But I found pretty much if people are going to be honest, they're going to be honest. If they're not, they're not. But Jesus is saying that God's people are not, don't have degrees of honesty and commitment to their word, that we are sincerely and completely and continually and always committed to honesty and to our word and to those things that we commit to. There shouldn't be any degrees to our honesty. We say, well, this is more important than that, although we understand things are more important. But when I commit to something, when I give my word, then I should follow through on that, and that's what should be expected of me and of God's people. If I tell you something, should you be able to trust it? Yes, you should. But what if I immediately say, well, I didn't sign anything. What do you know? Or what you ought to know? If you've been around at all, you ought to know. What does that mean? This ain't good. That's what that means. This ain't good. When a person says, I didn't sign anything, that means they don't intend to follow through on what they committed to. They're looking for the loophole. They're looking for the out. People of the kingdom, should we be looking for an out? No. When we commit, whether it's legally binding or not, we ought to hold up our side of the bargain, right? If I tell you something, you should count on that. I understand the Uniform Commercial Code and contracts, Ben. If it's over $500, it's supposed to be in writing, right? We have an offer, an acceptance, and consideration. I remember that from business law. You know, if it's over $500, it has to be in writing. If it deals with an automobile, it has to be in writing, I think, to be binding, if I remember business law. But here's the deal. I don't know that I don't want to remember all that. I just want to be, as a person of the kingdom, and for us to be, I don't care if it's $5, or I promise to be somewhere, or we're transacting large transactions, that my word and my handshake is significant. Now, in the culture do we live, are there documents that we have to sign, that have to be filed, that are binding and legal for us to transact business? Well, absolutely. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, that that's a wrong thing. That's necessary. But I'm saying as God's people, what Jesus is teaching us is, we should be committed when we give our word every time. We should be committed to honesty and to fulfilling our commitments every time. Now, what's the practical lesson in that? We should be slow and deliberate before we give our word or our commitment, right? Count the cost. Make sure that we can follow through on what we say. Because what happens to us many times? We have good intentions, but what happens? We commit it and then it gets bigger than we thought. My dad's word has always been, son, if you commit, you got to do it. If it takes hide, hair, and all. But don't ever commit to it again. And you know, if it takes hide, hair, and all, you understand, right? But, so we should be slow to commit. I met a gentleman that I deal with in Nashville, as part of state government. And I have become very fond of it. The first time we were in a meeting, we were actually sitting with the governor in meeting. And we asked him about something, and he wouldn't commit at all. And Governor Haslam asked him, he said, can we do that? He said, I don't know. He said, I'm not going to commit to that. And he went back and got with his folks and looked at all the numbers and found out what the maximum exposure the budget had. And when he figured all that out, he committed. And I gained the greatest respect for him because I knew he won't crawfish on us. Because he didn't sit there and immediately agree, and then I'm going to get a call a week later and say, well, I've been looking into this, it won't work. He never agreed until he'd done all of the work and said, we can do it. And I said, that's a man I can depend on, because if he was not committed to his word, he wouldn't have done all this work on the front end. And he has proven in our relationship to always be straightforward, kind, but not quick to say yes. But when he says yes, he's in. And I mean, if it gets hairy, he's still in. You know, a lot of folks, if it gets hot, they ain't as in as they one time were. Or they might be in, but they're going to let you take the heat. He's in, and he'll commit to being in. The reason I share that is, you gain respect. I don't need a signature. I don't need to see it in writing. I have gained a respect for this individual that when we have a discussion, he's not going to commit quickly. And when he does, he's in. That's what we need to be as people of the kingdom. People of the kingdom that when we commit, when we give our word, when we agree to something, that we follow through. And there's no reason for elaborate. There's no reason for, you know, all kinds of this and that. Again, when we're kids, we do all of that. But it should just be understood that when we give our word, that we are committed. How absent is that today? And you know, it's interesting. The younger generation doesn't work like the older generation worked. People aren't as committed as they were in the past. But if you ever watch the AMC movies, I'm talking about the black and white movies and all of those from the 40s and 50s and all that, what are those characters saying in those movies? These young people just don't work like we worked. It's all changing, you know? That's what our grandparents were saying. Now, does some of that change? It does. But I think people stay a lot the same. And for us to commit, whether today or any time, it's important that we do, that we give our word. Now, what if you say, well, that doesn't seem that important? Then don't commit to it. Don't commit to it. But when you commit, when you give your word, when you say something, make sure that it is the truth and that you can back it up. I don't have to keep beating the horse, but it's easily understood, but it's so hard for us to practice because we rationalize why not doing isn't as important. I will use another example or two that are kind of minor, but I think they speak to the point. We're still way early. We're good. The clock's a little slow, and I even know that. It even comes down to if you're planning an event and you get RSVPs, they're a pretty good sign because a whole lot of the folks who RSVP ain't coming. And a whole lot of the folks who are coming ain't RSVPing. Pardon my English. I mean, so you just almost figure a percentage. I'm not even sure why we do the RSVPs, because that's about how how useful they are. And those of you who do that, understand. I went to a meeting the other day that the room would hold about 75 people. And they were bringing chairs in, and we stood along the wall for the 26 people who had RSVP'd to come to the meeting. Now, that's a true story. Four times that showed up. The reason I say that seems less than significant. What I'm saying is we should be people that every time are about our word. Now, do emergencies arise? They do. And so sometimes there are things beyond our control, health issues or those, but you communicate that. But it is just important. It's imperative. James says, above all things, to be honest, for your yes to be yes and your no to be no. That when you tell somebody no, that's the way it is. When you tell them yes, that's the way it is. That they don't have to doubt. Well, he told me no, but I believe it. I believe he's going to do it anyway. It should not be how God's people act. Do you trust in the promises of God? We, everyone, do. I hope we do. Trust in the word and the promises of God. That God is unfailing. Unfailing in keeping his promises. That is his nature. He does not lie. He never lets us down. We don't always understand God's way, but God is always about what's right. God always, as the Apostle Paul would say, works things together for good. He works things together for good. Not everything is pleasant, but God always works things together for good. I, without a doubt, believe Jesus is returning. I believe he's coming. I believe he ascended from the earth after his resurrection. I believe he is at the right hand of God, of the Father, and that he is going to return. And when Jesus returns, the dead will be resurrected. Those bodies will be raised from the dead. And those of us who are still alive will meet them in the air. And we will forever be with the Lord. And he will forever be with us. And all of the struggles will be gone. It's not just my hope against the alternatives. I just believe it. I believe that's what's going to happen. I don't know all the details. I just believe it's going to happen. And it will be a great and glorious time. Why? Because God said so, and God always keeps his promise. And nothing, nothing will keep him from fulfilling his promise. Because he always tells the truth, and he's the Almighty, which is a wonderful thing. He can make it happen. And because he can, he will. As God's people, we should have that same nature. While everything is not in our control, it is ours to make sure that our word and our promises are faithful and true. And you don't have to advertise that. You know, you don't have to say, I always tell the truth. I'm going to tell you something. It'll become obvious quickly. I've shared with you my experience with renters. Usually I know a house is coming open. The folks who need to move know way before I know. And they start calling or dropping by. It's the strangest thing. I won't have gotten notice that I'm going to have an empty house. If they start calling and coming by, I start looking at who's moving. But they'll get out and say, I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I'm a good Christian. They got the spiel down. Those of you who deal with that, that's just the routine. I pay zero attention to that. I don't mean to be ugly, zero. Because the tracks you leave are much more important than the words you say. When we are honest and committed, it becomes obvious to everybody who is around us. It is God's nature. And in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is not very long, Jesus said, this is important. You've heard it said, don't take vows. I'm just telling you, don't swear by these things. I'm just telling you, you don't have to swear at all. Just say yes or no and follow through. James said, above all things, you don't have to take vows. Do the right thing. God keeps his promises. Jesus is returning. If you're not prepared today for the Lord's return, we'd invite you to come. If you need the prayers of this congregation, why don't you come while we stand and sing.